Bah! Ah! Bah! I don't want Anthony. But also, I kind of do. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the Free Odyssey app. In a way, since last night, well, one, I made a huge whoopsie on the show yesterday. I said that the draft lottery, Anthony, was going to be at halftime of the first game, because that's when it used to be. They changed it, and it was before the first game last night. And I hope that it saved you from watching the frustration in real time. Then you just got an alert on your phone that told you that the Wizards got the sixth pick. And then you're like, dang, I thought the thing was later. Hoffman lied to me. My bad on that. Sorry, it's not the worst thing that happened to you yesterday. If you care about the Wizards and the draft lottery, because the Wizards got the sixth pick. What a... Anthony, you ready for the funny headline?
Uh-oh.
A monumentally bad night in DC sports. Caps.
Perfect.
Ugh. Wizards. Ugh. Leonsis is trying to buy the Nationals, too. Ugh. 0-3. On the way out of the door yesterday, I saw our good friend Victor, Slick Vic Ferreira, as he was producing the Nats game. And I was like, hey, man, I'm just going to need the Nats to take one on the chin tonight. They play baseball again tomorrow. We'll figure that out then. The Nats lost. They've lost six in a row. But we couldn't get the other victories. Capitals, they had it for a moment. They had that 5-on-3. Ovi finally got on the board. It's like, hey now, all right, we're on a power play. Can we get another one here? And now that we're back to 5-on-4, can we make? Nope. Got back to full strength 2 minutes later. Hurricanes score. Got some empty netters. They go down. And then that's all after the Wizards just get the worst possible outcome. And I want to talk about the NBA draft lottery at large in a few. But just in terms of the Wizards, like, I'm really struggling what to make of it. Because on one hand, it's catastrophic. It is rare that you have as surefire of a really great prospect as Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg has it all together mentally. Physically, he is exceptional. He plays both ends of the floor. Like, there is so much good to him as a prospect. And if you could have just gotten the second pick, Dylan Harper has a lot of the same stuff. He's really, really good. Lefty, point guard, plays both ends, plays hard, can shoot it, can score it. Like, he's got areas to improve, as does Flagg. But, like, these guys are potential multi-time all-stars. And Flagg's case, I think he could be a generational talent, one of the best guys in the league, a true best player on a championship roster type guy. And you didn't get it. And obviously the fact that the Mavs do get it is just the most insulting thing in the world, but we'll talk about that in a few. Getting the sixth pick in this draft can get you another piece that's really, really good and really, really helpful. My current favorite piece is Trey Johnson, the shooting guard out of Texas. He's an exceptional shooter, like really, 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 really high-level shooter who has great positional size, and that's something that, you know, all those Oklahoma City scouts, if you will, they love that kind of stuff, the positional size, and why wouldn't you? And Dawkins and Winger come from that tree under Sam Presti. And he also provides a level of shooting that they don't really have. And so as a fit next to guys like Bob Carrington moving forward and Alex Saar, to have a true floor spacer, who, by the way, also has all of the off-the-court stuff, is like on lock, true professional already at 19. That to me is my current odds-on favorite for the guy that I would like for them to have the opportunity to take at 6. I will admit that comes from a lot of reading and watching some coverage, not so much from breaking down their tape. I will do that with, you know, Ace Bailey and VJ Edgecombe and Fears, the point guard at Oklahoma, Malyuk, the center out of Duke, Con Knipple. Like, all these guys are kind of in that next bucket. So I'll have more thought out thoughts on who I think the Wizards should pursue over the next month here as we lead into the NBA draft. But not all is lost, and you know that the next year's draft is also stupid loaded. There's really good guys. There's three dudes at the top of that draft who were thought to be really, really, like, all-star caliber player prospects, And the Wizards have every incentive to try to be near the top of next year's draft because they have the eighth overall pick. Or if they don't have the eighth overall pick or better, their pick will go to the New York Knicks from a trade that predates Michael Winger and Will Dawkins, because it was so long ago at this point, like 4 or 5 years ago. I don't even remember what trade it was. I don't think it was the Bogdanovich trade, but it might have been. No, he was with the Nets. Who even trade with the Knicks for?
The Wizards?
Yeah. Who'd they get from the Knicks? Where does that pick even come from?
I don't know either.
Well, I don't know either. So it's a gut punch if you're the Wizards. It's not catastrophic. And in fact, Will Doc, I need to spend more time with Will Dawkins because I think I'd be a better person. Here's Will being an adult afterwards.
There is a process that y'all have been committed to.
Question by David Aldridge, as if you didn't recognize the voice.
And have not skipped. At the end of that process is supposed to be some sort of reward, incentive for doing things the way you're supposed to do them. And I just wonder, like, this, I know you're like six, but you weren't working for six, you know what I mean?
I think the important piece is when we came in, we knew there was a 50% chance that you get boxes. So you're going into the lottery odds knowing that that's most likely where you're going to be. And it's a game of chance. But like you said, this rebuild that we're on, like, we're still taking the phases of it. So there will be more and more rewards at the end of the tunnel. But I think six is a reward for where we're at right now. And we'll be able to use it and make our team better.
And that they will. And if you look at teams like the Indiana Pacers, who are on the verge of the Eastern Conference Finals, that's a team that has a bunch of homegrown talent. And they made one really smart trade with the Sacramento Kings, where they gave up Domas Sabonis and they got back Tyrese Halliburton. And Halliburton has just blossomed into a star. And if they can find that guy somewhere else in the league, a young, burgeoning player that they maybe even trade, like, I know this sounds crazy right now, but could they trade a Bilal Coulibaly for in a couple years, someone who they think is a better fit, and that guy turns into Tyrese Halliburton? Like, this is the kind of things that you're going to have to do. I also think that Will probably is already working the phones, and Michael is there, all those guys, all their scouts, all their everybody, because this is every organization is like this, is in Chicago right now at the NBA draft combine. And there's no doubt that they are talking to folks. I guarantee you they're talking to San Antonio and they're like, hey, what would it take to get to two? And the first thing you have to hope for is that Giannis decides he wants to stay in Milwaukee, because you're not beating an offer that has Giannis in it. But if you've got the sixth pick and they are looking for more shooting, could six and Corey Kispert and something else work to get up to two and get Dylan Harper? Dallas is not entertaining trades for the number one pick. They're taking Flag. And that includes a potential Giannis pick. That's the reporting from ESPN and others today. So these are, you know, then at that point you start calling Philadelphia about three. And do you get up, or are you on draft night just seeing how things fall? And if you need to get up to five or four, do you make a move then? The Wizards have the 18th pick as well. And we know we'll maneuver if they have to. So that's kind of where the Wizards are after all of this. By the way, Anthony, thank you for sending me this. The Knicks acquired a 2024 first-round pick from the Wizards as part of the trade package involving John Wall and Russell Westbrook. The Knicks received a 2024 top 12 protected pick from the Wizards, which the Wizards retained because they landed the 14th overall pick in the 2024 draft. In the 25 draft, the Wizards' first-round pick is protected 1 through 10. And so, obviously, they're keeping it then. It will go to the Knicks. If it doesn't convey in 2026, this AI breakdown is wrong. That's all I know about that, because it has the years and stuff wrong. This is why you don't use the AI breakdowns. They're off by a year. Because it's like, in 2025, if the Wizards is 1 through 10, if it falls out that range. Additionally, if the Wizards don't convey a first-round pick to the Knicks in 2025, they will instead send a 2026 and 2027 second-round pick. That's not true. If it doesn't convey in 2026, they send a second-round pick in 2027. Because it's top eight protected next year. And also, the Knicks were in the John Wall, Russell Westbrook trade?
Nah, Craig, it's actually right. I'm on SI right now as well.
It's probably, that's where it pulled it from. Don't make me.
Fans, it can still transfer to the Knicks next year if Washington falls outside the top eight at the 2026 selection.
That's what I said, not with that AI summary thing that you sent me.
Since. Oh.
Real intelligence, not artificial. See what I did there? All right, when we get back, I have larger thoughts on the NBA draft lottery, and then we are going to take calls. It's a Vibe Check Tuesday. I know the vibes are not good. Before 4:30, we're going to take your calls. I might even get to some next. But I think the NBA has both a style and a substance problem when it comes to the NBA draft lottery, and the style might actually be more important than the substance. I'll explain next on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're taking your calls at 4:30 on the NBA draft lottery. But I would like to talk about the draft lottery first, both generically and about the Wizards. And those two things are obviously related. I'm seeing all of this through a Wizards lens. I'm a local talk show host in D.C., and I have been very impressed with what the Wizards front office has done since they have taken over, the current iteration of them. And I think that if you were going to set up something in the way that the league is currently set up, to have the gut punch that was last night is not fair to them. And frankly, like, forget them for a second. It's not fair to all of you. It's not fair to fans who have had to sit through the absolute nonsense that has been Wizards basketball since basically 1979. So it is very frustrating to sit here today on a day where not only do the Wizards drop down from having the second worst record in the league, where they could have had the worst record had they really botched the final possession of the regular season. Instead, Bub Carrington hits a game winner, and I was like, maybe this is how you get your hopes up. This right here, this feels like the basketball gods interjecting some goodness. Nope. Just another kick to the... not great. But the Dallas freaking Mavericks, a team that just botched a generational superstar in a way that was insulting to everything that could ever exist about this league and the game and the sport. They get it? And the Spurs pick second, and all they've ever done when they've been in the lottery is get David Robinson, Tim Duncan, Victor Wembanyama, and they got Wembanyama 2 years ago, and Stephon Castle last year wound up winning Rookie of the Year, and the Sixers are bad once. They've still got Embiid, and they got Tyrese Maxey, and they get to be third. And then of all the teams that have been bad, the Hornets have been a model of ineptitude forever. They're more inept than the Wizards, historically speaking. And they're the team that at least gets to the top four of the three teams that had the top odds, Wizards, Jazz, and Hornets. Gross. Gross. When we talk about the NBA draft lottery, I think there are two separate conversations that are obviously intertwined. And in a weird way, I think they're kind of backwards in importance. Because typically, I'm a substance person. I am a, hey, let's talk about what's the real point here. We can worry about optics later. I care about the substance of how things are run, the decisions that are made. What are you actually trying to do? Not necessarily. I'm willing to look past some of the initial optics of things. But eventually, you can't ignore optics. And so when we talk about the style or the substance of what is it that the NBA draft lottery is trying to accomplish? Is it trying to de-incentivize tanking? Is it trying to accomplish some element of fairness, some element of competitive parity, where you're giving certain teams chances to be good, but also, again, you're trying to make sure that they don't try too bad, too hard to be bad. That way you don't wind up with the worst team always getting the worst pick in a race to the bottom. Like, what are you trying to actually accomplish with that? That has become secondary to the fact that on the style side of the style and substance, there are way too many people that think the NBA is rigged. And I think the league has to look itself in the mirror today and say, our biggest problem is not tanking. It's that people think our league is rigged. And that is the worst thing you can have as a sports league. Because if people think the competition isn't on the level, they won't watch. Now, to be clear, I think this is all on the level. It's heinously unlikely that what has happened has happened over the last couple of years. We're talking about fractions of percentages here because the ninth best team, I believe it was in the Hawks last year, the 10th best team, have like a 3% chance. This year, the Nabs have a 1.8% chance. You multiply those two numbers together, I think is how that math works. And that's the chance that that happens over the course of 2 years. Add in the fact the Mavs had to, you know, do exactly what they did in the regular season, then had to lose the play-in game to Memphis, and they had to win a coin flip. Like, it's just tremendously unlikely, but it is what it is. Like, there are people in that room that are, one, we'd be committing felonies in terms of the fraud. And I realize that the firm Ernst & Young has actually been sued for fraud before, but that's what happens when you're a gigantic firm. Every firm has been sued on that level, or a lot of them have been sued on that level. But you'd have a firm, like an accounting firm, committing fraud. You'd have all of the team representatives, including the 13 that lose, have to be in on it because they're in the room where it happens. And you have media that rotates through every single year that's not, again, in the room where they show the cards on TV, what we see, that is in the actual ping pong balls room. And you have to, the only way that's feasible to remotely try to do something on that circumstances is if somehow the lottery balls were weighted, and I'm sure that there are safeguards in place that prevent that. But even then, you can't guarantee anything. This is just happening. But we, for whatever reason, we as human beings want to ascribe reason to everything, even things that are games of chance. There's a reason why everything happens, and whether that is you're someone who just kind of believes there's a reason for everything, or that's your religion, or it's just the human condition. Like, whatever the reasoning is, we try to ascribe meaning to everything. There's no meaning to this. It's dumb ping pong balls that keep falling in the dumbest possible way. I can know that. Doesn't matter if everyone else thinks it's rigged. Doesn't matter. The NBA has an image problem in this way, and they need to fix it. And whether that is unweighting the lottery, whether that is getting rid of the lottery altogether, I certainly have some ideas, but it can't go on like this. And I think that does get into the substance argument, because I've heard both sides of this over the last couple of hours as I've listened to a couple different podcasts and read a couple different columns, and there is the same point that is made and then two different conclusions that are drawn from it. The point is, since they flattened the lottery odds 7 years ago, the team with the worst record has never won the lottery, and thus this is a failure. And then there's other people that say that happening actually means it's success because you de-incentivized tanking. The problem is you haven't de-incentivized tanking. Utah got fined $100,000 in the middle of the season because they were tanking so hard. You have teams that could either maybe make a playoff push or shut some stars down towards the end of the season, and they'd rather shut the stars down. And I think most notably on the evidence, if you're the Mavs and you just had the best thing happen to you that you could possibly imagine, winning the lottery at a 1.8% odd, and you only had that 1.8% because you lost in the play-in tournament, what do you think is better, the Mavs winning the play-in tournament or winning the lottery? You've just said, hey, this is possible. And so you have to decide, like, what are we actually trying to accomplish here? And I think what the things you're balancing are giving bad teams hope. And bad teams are going to bad team. They're going to screw it up. Charlotte, Utah, the Wizards for much of their history. There's so many teams that if it just had bad executives in charge or bad ownership or whatever the different reasons are, that they have screwed stuff up or just gotten unlucky. So you can't guarantee parity. And I also think there's a good point to be made that parity in the NBA is somewhat overrated. This league is at its highest when there are two Goliaths colliding. Lakers, Celtics, Cavs, Warriors, Bulls, Jazz. Pick your Lakers, whoever, you know, Spurs. Pick your rivalries of the last 30, 40 years of the NBA since it's been at its peak, going back to Lakers, Celtics in the 80s. So there might even have parity being overrated in the first place. And so ultimately, like, what you've got to decide is, if you're the league, what do you want to accomplish? How much parity are you trying to create? What's the system that you want to implement? And how do we make sure that that system isn't some game of chance that doesn't feel like it's on the level? Because if you just take the lottery away, or I think my favorite solution that I've come up with so far is, let's do a lottery for the first overall pick. And we're going to flatten the odds. So if you miss the playoffs, you have, that'd be 14 teams that miss the playoffs. This is math I could have done before the show, but, you know, it's me. I forget math all the time. That's a 7.14% chance. Each team has 7.14% chance of getting the number one overall pick. And if you get the number one overall pick, congrats, you've won the lottery. And if you don't, the worst you're going to do is move down one spot. But we're not doing four, because I think this is where this thing has gone too far for me right now. The fact that the Wizards went from second to sixth is ridiculous. The Jazz went from one to five is ridiculous. The Wizards go from two to three, fine. Jazz go one to two, that's fine. The Mavs getting the number one pick is going to make me mad forever, but fine. If they get it, okay. But it just feels, and I feel like the NBA gets way too cute with this stuff way too often, with the contracts, with the second apron, with all. The league just needs to say, hey, we've done too much. Let's strip this thing down. Let's make this easier to follow for fans. And let's not start over because you're 75 years into the league, but almost 80 years into the league at this point. But we're gonna rethink how this whole thing goes to try to make it that teams are playing each day to win. And at the end of the season, if you haven't done the winning, then you got a chance to add a really good player, and you try again next year. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. We'll take your calls on what happened to the Wizards and the lottery writ large next. The Wizards fall to sixth in the NBA draft lottery after having the second position. The worst they could have done. They needed four teams who were below them all to jump them. That is exactly what happened. They also needed the Utah Jazz to fall to fifth, which is what happened to them. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. Your Wizards or general NBA draft / draft lottery thoughts. Let's start off with Ray and Frederick. Ray, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Craig. So thank you for taking my call. The simplest thing to do, what Anthony was telling me, where executives and media members were able to look at the ping pong balls, let everyone see it, not just, you know, media and executives, let everyone see it. Bring in a big old ping pong ball and let it spin, and, you know, what, a thousand, whatever, how many balls in there, and let it spin, and then you'll see it. Because, you know, like, say, the Mega Millions and the Powerballs, everybody sees the ball. You can't really relive that. So if everyone sees that, then it's never going to be thinking of, oh, it's rigged. You know what I mean? That's the simple thing.
I hear you. I think that they should show it. I don't really understand the upside to not. I think it's a very silly system that they have. But people will still think it's rigged. Like, the old envelopes in the big giant wheel was what got the whole conspiracy theories about the lottery started in the first place. Because they're like, oh, it's the frozen envelope. And David Stern knew not to pick the cold one. And that's how the Knicks got Patrick Ewing in 1985. So, like, people, I guess if it's maybe people are more familiar with the lottery ping pong balls. But people will be like, oh, the balls are weighted. Or, it, you know, the technology is advanced. They can pop up the right one. Like, I think the only way for them to get around it being rigged is to make it so that the lottery has either a much smaller impact, aka it's just one pick and one pick only, and thus fans aren't lamenting falling four spots like Wizards fans are today, or just get rid of the thing entirely. Just say, like, hey, if you lose the most games, you are the worst team. Or there's all these, like, wheels. There's other ideas that are more radical that people have put out there, but I think as long as you have a lottery, Ray, I think people are going to think it's rigged, even if they see it right in front of their own eyes.
One more thing real quick. Thank goodness we have Jaden Daniels, because without him, I don't know how DMV fans will cope. Oh my goodness. It's just horrible. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you got it. Hope is a powerful thing in a fan base. And, you know, thankfully on the football front, we have a ton of hope. Basketball, look, I still think that they're doing the best that they can, but you're at the mercy of these ping pong balls. I mean, here's the thing to remember too. Like, the Wizards were almost on the right side of this 2 years ago. The Wizards in that draft had the eighth best odds or seventh best odds, whatever it was. And the way the draft lottery works, for those that don't know, is there's 1,001 combinations. And then one of those combinations is unassigned. They were actually, because it's the way that like the numbers work out in terms of the numbers on the balls, and then it's like 1 through 14, and you do 4 balls, and that equals 1,001. And they actually were within one ball last night of getting the, I think it was on the second pick, they were within one ball of having to redraw because they almost landed on the one combination that nobody had. But through the first 3 ping pong balls in 2022, the team that had the best odds to get Victor Wembanyama was the Washington Wizards. And the final ping pong ball came up Spurs. So it can happen the other way, but if you want the best odds, doing what they did with, you know, the position they were in was quote unquote the best. It just didn't play out. Let's go to Clark. Clark, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Craig, I appreciate the man. I appreciate both of you, you and Anthony. You know, I was thinking while I was on hold, why can't the NBA do what the NFL does? Whoever has the worst record in the NBA get the first pick. You know what I mean? It, opposed to
well, that's the thing. Clark is like, I'm crap. Down with that. They fear that there'd be too much tanking. That in a year like this, or in a year like Wemby, in a year like when Patrick Ewing was coming out in 1985, when it's like everyone thinks this is a generational prospect, that teams will tank so hard, worse than they are now, that it'll be a problem for the league. And the problem is I actually think that is a less significant problem than what people think right now, where they think the league is rigged. Because at least if teams are tanking, we can see it in front of us and be like, yeah, that team's got the worst record because they suck at basketball, as opposed to a bunch of ping pong balls.
Yeah.
So, but that's what they would tell you. I don't disagree that I might not just be better. Or I don't think they're better off. Or I should say, I do think they're better off just going back to that.
Okay, and I had one more thing prior to me leaving. I was telling Anthony off air, I think Cooper Flagg is just full of hype like Zion was. Me personally, I think the Wizards should go after that boy Walter Clayton Jr. To me, I think he's a better ball player than Cooper Flagg. That's who I would go after.
Clark, if you think that Walter Clayton is going to be a better NBA player than Cooper Flagg, and I'm just going to say we disagree vehemently on what Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg is not
hype. You know I'm going to get your call.
If he winds up being better, call away. I think Clayton is someone they could consider with the 18th pick because they also have that from Memphis, and it's probably still an overdraft. He's small. He's older. Like, there's only so much limited upside. Cooper Flagg is a bona fide two-way player who is an ultimate competitor right in the head. Like, there's with Zion, the stuff has been injury. Zion's been amazing when he's been on the floor, but I think that there was always questions about his body type and whether that could work with the 82 game schedule. There's none of that with Cooper Flagg. Like, they're very, very different players. But I appreciate the call, Clark.
I appreciate you though.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Let's go to Yannick. Yannick, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey. Love this show, man. We've been with it too for a long time.
Appreciate that.
What I want to say is the Wizards, they couldn't get the number one overall pick last night, but I feel like the Mavericks needed more than the Wizards because when we get Alex Shaw in the draft, that whole thing changed. But since this past season, we got the bad record, all those stuff. Because of injuries, those stuff, we can't play the ball, play the game right, play the ball, those stuff. Maybe we can get maybe instead of getting Cooper Flagg, we should get another big guy. So what do you think about that?
I think that, thanks for the call, Yannick, appreciate it. I think that, like, getting a big is fine. Getting someone to pair with Alex Saar is not a bad idea. And, Malyuk, the kid out of Duke, who's 7'2", first ever draftable or first ever player that's going to be drafted out of the NBA Africa Academy. He's from South Sudan. He's going to be the first ever South Sudanese NBA player. He's really intriguing. His movement skills are great. He's 7'2", but he's very, very raw. He started playing basketball really late. He played the 1 year at Duke. And if you want to play Alex Saar at the four and draft Malyuk and say, hey, we think this guy can develop. Okay, I'd rather go say, where's my scoring and my shooting going to come from? Like, to me, where the Wizards are in their rebuild, they need to find shooting because I think they have really good defensive versatility. I think they have some guys that can create shots. Obviously, right now, the main shot creator is Jordan Poole. Bub will get better at that. And Bilal, you're hoping, will continue to get better at that. And you're still ultimately hoping for a superstar now next year, since you're not going to get him this year, or that you can trade and kind of find one on the low in the way that Oklahoma City did or the way that Indiana did in trading for SGA or Tyrese Halliburton. But getting someone who has more shot creation upside at that sixth pick, I think is probably the better play. There's a couple of names that I have, and I see we got a couple of calls on the phones as well with some names. So we'll continue taking calls on this next. We'll talk to Chase Hughes coming up about this at 5 o'clock. We'll get to some other stuff later on in the show as well. But we're taking your calls now on the Wizards and the how you're feeling post-draft lottery at 301-230-0980 on the Hoffman Show. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. That is where you call us to give us your thoughts on the Wizards draft lottery results, the draft lottery in total. No, you can't cuss. Sorry, it's the radio. Let's get back to the phones. 301-230-0980. That's where we find JR. JR, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you for taking a call.
You got it.
But first off and foremost, I agree that the lottery actually sucks. I don't know why basketball is the only sport that does their draft just like they do it. But outside of that, you know, as a Wizards fan, I think we're not in a bad place as much as people think, because I think at the sixth spot, you still have an opportunity to take someone like a Derrick Queen that I think if you pair with Alex Sarr, and you know one of his best friends, and Bub Currington, you're positioning yourself to do some really good things as an organization. Especially if you think coming right behind this year, we have a draft that's even more loaded next year, and hopefully you know our chances are increased. So I think we're in a good spot. You know, like I said, hopefully we can get a Derrick Queen or like you said, maybe Trey Johnson drops. But other than that. Obviously, the lottery sucks, but I don't think we're as bad as, you know, we're feeling right now. Thank you for taking the call.
Yeah, JR, I think those are probably my two favorite, or two of my, I'll say three, I'm trying to think of who the third might be, but favorite names or most interesting names. Trey Johnson's definitely my favorite name for them at six. I just think that a guy who shoots the ball that well is about as valuable of an asset as you can have. He's got positional size. He's made of all the right stuff mentally, how he approaches the game, all that kind of stuff. And whether he's a part of your long-term future or you flip him down the line as part of a package for something else, like a really great shooter always has value for your team or for someone else's team. So that's thing one. Queen is really interesting because, like, obviously there's local ties and the feel-good story about all that part of it. Not only local ties in terms of University of Maryland, but he went to Maryland because he's from Baltimore. So you have the local-ish tie there. Queen and Sarr, if you could combine them, would be like a Hall of Famer, what they're capable of. Because Alex's defensive abilities, his switchability, the stuff he can do with the ball, and the feel he has for the game, combined with the skill and the rebounding of Queen, is like a perfect player. The question is, when you split that into two, is that a pairing match made in heaven? Or is it a floor spacing nightmare because neither of them really has three-point range quite yet? Like, we'll see how Queen shoots it. I shouldn't say Queen does it. Like, Queen can shoot the rock, but does he have NBA three-point range? I think that's still TBD. Obviously, Sarr is working on it. He took a ton of threes last year. But Queen, what he can do on off the bounce, both those guys. But then defensively, like, Queen is limited as a defender. I think he's one of these guys that might be tough at times to have on the floor in matchups in the playoffs, depending on how he develops on that end over the next couple of years. But if Sarr is able to cover for him, then it becomes a very intriguing combination. I think it's also worth remembering, like, they have the 18th pick as well. And I do wonder if the combo of 6 and 18 can get you higher in this draft, which, you know, maybe gets you in the Ace Bailey conversation. I don't think it gets you in the Dylan Harper conversation too, but especially because the Spurs already have 14. Like, how many picks do you want in this draft? Could you trade a future, one of your future picks to potentially get up to two? That becomes an intriguing conversation. But these are the kinds of things that Will Dawkins and Michael Winger and Travis Schlenk and all their guys in the front office are kicking around. Let's go continue back to the phones, 301-230-0980. Let's go to Tim. Tim, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hi, Craig. I was just calling in. I know that there's been a lot of talk about it being rigged and everything. And, you know, in terms of a conspiracy theory, no. But it is rigged. Mathematically, it's rigged. If you look, the top three teams each had a 14% chance. That 14 times 3 is 42. So 42% chance that one of those three worst teams will get the top pick. That means 58% chance that one of the other teams with a better record will. That's rigged. I mean, that's balanced towards the better teams. If you look at the Wizards, they had a 14% chance for the number one pick. The percentage, the slot that had the highest percentage for them was number six. It's rigged. It's rigged to punish the three worst teams in the league.
Well, so here's the problem with that, Tim, though, is that that's still better than everyone else. Like, of course, if you combine the other teams, but there's 11 other teams, it's 11 on three. So, of course, the other teams have more.
Of course.
But the other point that I think some people in the league office might make, and this to me like gets to the crux of the issue of what do you want as a league? Because I can make the argument that, like, yeah, so don't tank. Don't suck. Try to be better. If it's not that beneficial to be this bad in the first place, then be a better basketball team. To which then my counter to that counter is, but 14 is still the best I can get. And if I can't get Cooper Flagg, I can't win. Because that's the thing about the NBA, which makes this all so complicated. And this goes back to something the last caller said as well, is, you know, why does the NBA have it like this and no other sport does? Because in no other sport does one singular player matter to the extent they do in the NBA and in basketball, because there's five dudes on the floor. And in the NFL, there's 11, or there's 22, and there's 10 in the NBA. The outsized impact of a LeBron James, of a Victor Wembanyama, of a Stephen Curry, when you get that guy right, it is the only way to win a championship unless you're the 2004 Pistons. There's no other example of it in recent NBA history going back to 1980. So that, like, this is kind of what the league has to ask itself is, if we are not going to give teams that have fallen on hard times a way out, do we just say that part out loud? Do we not care? Or are we going to say, hey, the best way out of the bottom is to try your best to be good right now, and you're going to have to overpay for some free agents and try to get them to sign short-term deals so you don't lose your long-term flexibility, but we'll give better draft odds to the eighth team or the 12th worst team than the best team? Like, these are the fundamental questions. But to say it's, like, I disagree with the word rigged in what you're saying, Tim, but you're 100% correct on the math of it all.
Yeah, I mean, it's balanced to favor the better teams. How about that?
Well, yes, on the collective, and you could fix that, right? You could make it so it's 80% chance the other way, which is 80% is not what it used to be.
Yeah.
But you'd be in favor of that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not spouting a conspiracy theory that 100%. They're picking one team, but it is balanced to not be one of the three lowest teams.
Yes, on the whole, yes, even though it's 11 on three and it used to be a lot different. Tim, I think that's a really good point, really good framing. Thanks for the call. Last but not least, let's go to Aveen. Aveen, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show. Wrap us up here for the hour.
Hey, Craig, I just want to build on what you were saying there. I think the NBA's obsession with trying to end tanking has backfired and been self-destructive. Like, if you look at every sports league, there's a handful of teams in every league that go into the season not ready to compete for the playoffs. Most teams go through a natural life cycle. Like, you're not going to be able to end that. And I guess you can say one person's tank is another person's rebuild. Like, the only way a bad team can build something built to last and sustainable is to go through a rebuild. And teams shouldn't be penalized for doing that. So I just think this new evened out draft odds is, it just misses the point of the draft, where the point is to spread out the talent, help out bad teams and, you know, give a lifeline to small markets and to teams that have been irrelevant, give them a lifeline to relevancy. So now you have this problem where the talent is going to go west. So I just wanted to build on that. Thanks.
Yeah, no, Avin, it's a great point. And I think it actually also goes into something that also came up last night. Like, last night was a terrible day for the league, I think, in a lot of ways. Like, teams just getting gut punched in Utah and here. Obviously, I think a lot of the league is thoroughly pissed that the Mavs won, considering how they handled the Luka situation. Not just that they traded him, but that they traded him for pennies on the dollar without even opening it up to the market and to the Lakers, who always seem to get those, be on the receiving end of those kind of deals. So I think there's probably real anger there. But then the Jason Tatum injury happens last night. And by the way, breaking news just moments ago, confirmation of a torn Achilles for Tatum. He's actually had the surgery to repair it. So he immediately went in, got the surgery, and now he will be out for probably a year. It'd be a miracle if he's back before the playoffs probably next year. It's a brutally long injury to rehab. And so I think part of that too is like, you've created this world where stuff like this keeps happening, where the NBA playoffs are a survival tool or a survival game as much as they are a talent competition. I think the league needs to like realize where its problems are, realize who it needs to be. And I want to talk about the Tatum thing later because I have deeper thoughts on that and kind of where the league is as a whole. But I think the league needs to say, like, what are our actual biggest problems right now? Because if they did that, tanking would not be anywhere close to the top of the list. The biggest problems the league have are people think that it's rigged, and by the end of it, none of the stars are available because everybody's hurt. So if you can find a way to shorten the season, concentrate your talent, and have it available more often, you'd still keep a ton of money because you could put a higher percentage of games on national TV, and then find ways to where you're also playing less meaningless basketball because teams aren't incentivized to tank for as long during a season because of the shorter nature, more unpredictable nature of a season. Like, you fix a lot of stuff. So it's a great call to wrap us up from Avin. And it's a bummer kind of to see the way the league happened yesterday, for lack of a better way to put it. When we get back, Chase Hughes is going to join us, talk about the Wizards side of it. And I'll see if he's got any thoughts on the lottery at large as well. Chase with us next on the Hoffman Show.